Get ready, book lovers. The 9th Annual Space Coast Book Lovers event is on June 18th through the 21st in legendary Cocoa Beach. Spend the weekend meeting your favorite authors, discovering new ones, and enjoying book signings, goodies, and fun activities. Choose from all-inclusive multi-day passes for the full experience, general admission with a tote bag, and VIP options. For info and tickets to Space Coast Book Lovers, visit legendarycocoabeach.com. Find your inner bookworm.
A healthy pregnancy starts with prenatal care. The Florida Department of Health in Miami-Dade County offers regular checkups to help protect you and your baby from complications like high blood pressure, infections, and preterm labor. Our services include physical exams, screenings, ultrasounds, and postpartum care, including family planning. Call 305-575-3800 or visit miamidade.floridahealth.gov to see if you qualify. Prioritize your health and your baby's. Start today.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump. In today's episode, we answered live callers' questions. People called in. We got to coach them on air. But this was after the intro. Today's intro is 52 minutes long. Now, in the intro, we talk about fitness science, fat loss, muscle gain, talk about family life. That's a good time. By the way, if you want us to coach you on air, email us a question at live@mindpumpmedia.com. This episode is brought to you by some sponsors. The first one is Ned. This is full spectrum hemp oil extract, high in CBD. This is the stuff you feel, or the stuff you don't feel. Take this. 45 minutes later, you'll know you took something. Test it out. Go to helloned.com. That's helloned.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump, get 20% off. This episode is also brought to you by Element. This is the best electrolyte powder you'll find anywhere. No artificial sweeteners, no sugar. Go to drinklmnt.com/mindpump and you'll get a free sample pack of their most popular drink mix flavors with any purchase. There's also 3 days left for our special this month. The Shredded Summer Bundle of Workout Programs and the Bikini Bundle of Workout Programs are both 50% off. If you're interested, go to mapsfitnessproducts.com and then use the code JUNE50 for the discount. Here comes the show. Inflammation that is out of control. What can it cause? Pain. It can cause psoriasis. It can cause movement issues, irritable bowel syndrome. It can make PMS worse. It can even cause allergies. We're going to talk about 7 natural ways you can crush chronic inflammation. Let's do this.
Would you include all autoimmune for that? Wouldn't you?
Well,
there's psoriasis. So I would assume that all inflammation.
Most autoimmune issues, inflammation is going to play a big role.
Yeah, a big role.
Yep. Now, the thing with inflammation is we have over-the-counter anti-inflammatory drugs. The problem with them is they have their own side effects and they don't encourage a healthy inflammatory response. Now, in the short term, they can be very powerful, right? Advil or ibuprofen, naproxen, aspirin. They can be great when you have this like acute pain, but when you're dealing with something chronic, and it's like, what's going on here? Natural methods encourage a more healthy, for lack of a better way of putting this, a more healthy inflammatory response. They don't shut down the inflammatory process like corticosteroids do or like NSAIDs do. They don't shut it down, causing other issues because you need some inflammation. Inflammation is an important signal in the body. But what they can do is help encourage a more healthy inflammatory response. So part of, and the ones we're going to talk about today are all natural. When you include these as part of a overall approach of improving sleep and exercise and fixing your diet, they can actually be quite effective. And I want to say that because if your diet's crap, you're getting poor sleep, you're not exercising appropriately, then what I'm about to say is going to make minimal
difference. Yeah, that would be where you go first. I assume that's what you were going
to
bring.
I'm looking at the list you made. I'm totally curious to like try like stacking all this stuff because I know that the number one like thing is tightening my diet up. If my psoriasis is flaring up, my diet's out of balance. I know that. And I know what foods are like main offenders. So it'd be interesting to see that when the diet's clean and it seems to suppress a lot of that stuff, could I possibly even reverse a little bit of the psoriasis, or can I improve it even more?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So the stuff I'm about to mention here, some of them have better studies than others, but they're all backed by studies. So they've all been studied. In fact, some of these have been studied so much that pharmaceutical companies are studying them to try and figure out how to make better anti-inflammatory drugs. Hmm. So yeah, in combination with a better diet, you know, because chronic inflammatory issues can be really challenging for some people. You know, it's like, okay, I fixed my diet, getting good sleep. I'm managing it. I don't want to take pharmaceuticals. Is there anything I can do that'll move the needle on top of everything else where I can actually feel a difference? Mm-hmm. And the data says yes with some of these things. Like the first thing we're going to talk about is curcumin, which you find in turmeric. Turmeric has been shown at about 500 to 1,000 milligrams a day in combination with something called piperin, or a fat. So taking it with something that has fat in it plus piperin improves its how you absorb it, its bioavailability. Taking it by itself, it's very poorly absorbed, but when you put it in a fat and you combine it with this compound called piperin.
So in other words, if you are taking it, you should take it with meals if you're taking it by pill.
With meals, or just like with butter or milk or something like that, something with a fat, it'll improve its bioavailability considerably. But there was a 2019 meta-analysis that showed that it significantly reduced C-reactive protein. So by itself, I mean, it's pretty good. It's pretty damn good for a natural compound. It's healthy across the board. You know, there's other things too that inflammation, you know, reducing inflammation will help, like cognitive decline, migraines and stuff like that. I have used curcumin like this. I've done this with clients. I've done this with myself on a consistent basis. And you notice. You definitely notice a difference. Now, the reason why I used it was for irritable bowel kind of gut issues. But I also noticed just better, you know, joint function as a result.
Any idea of the history and origin on us using it for cooking? Like, did we do it because it has some sort of a flavor and it was that first? That's then it. We found out that it had positive effects, or did we put it in our food because of the positive?
No. Turmeric's been used for a long time.
No, I know. That's what I mean.
It's for the taste. But what we found was that people who ate a lot, this is where they start probably, I believe this is where the studies originated. We noticed that people who ate a lot of turmeric had reduced instances of inflammatory related diseases. And so that kind of led to them going, what's the deal? What's in this food that's causing that? And sure enough, by the way, here what's interesting, by the way, oftentimes in cooking, turmeric is included with the fat. Isn't that kind of weird?
Like yeah. You'll see this. What's a common dish with turmeric in it? Like I'm trying.
Indian food.
Yeah, you season a lot of meats and stuff with it.
Yeah. Or they'll put it in their what is it called that they'll use with coconut milk and turmeric? Thai food will often have this.
Like in a Thai curry.
Yeah, curries. Mm-hmm. Curries often will have this. So you'll have the fat in there as well.
Is that one of the main ingredients that's in the Organifi Gold juice too?
It is.
It is in there, right? It is. That's that what gives it the orange tint, right? Okay, that's right. What I thought.
That's right. Next up is omega-3 fatty acids. This is one of my favorites because the health effects or benefits of this seem to be pretty far ranging. And you want a good quality fish oil supplement. Fish is the best, of course, just eating fish. Mm-hmm. Sardines are a great source of this. But you dose it about 1 to 3 grams every single day. And it shows benefit for people like rheumatoid arthritis, cardiovascular disease, asthma. Asthma is another inflammatory-related type of disease. And the data on that one is pretty amazing. There was a 2018 meta-analysis that showed that lowered IL-6 and C-reactive protein, again, significantly in chronic inflammatory disease. And it's a healthy thing, you know, it doesn't have the side effects that you'll find in pharmaceuticals. So pretty cool.
Yeah, most people don't eat enough fish, myself included. So it's like having to seek out omega-3s is like vital.
You know, the issue is it's that, but it's more so that we have the ratio is off.
But it helps bring that closer to balance.
That's right. I mean, remember when we had Dr. Cabral on and he had us all just supplement with it for a while to see the difference in some of our blood our metrics.
Had to be super consistent with it to see anything.
And they improved. Uh-huh. They all improved.
Big time.
Next is ginger. Ginger, which I believe is related to turmeric, if I'm not mistaken. Doug, is that correct?
They're both roots. They're very similar.
I think they're related. 1 to 2 grams a day shows some pretty pretty beneficial effects. I like ginger because it's super available. Although turmeric's available now pretty easily.
I think they're both paired commonly in food also.
Yeah, this one I see a lot more in food.
Yeah.
In terms of what I eat.
And you can get ginger. You know what's cool about the one, the like turmeric and ginger, and like they're inexpensive supplements. Mm-hmm. But even if you don't want to buy them as supplements, you could buy ginger, and you can juice with it and stuff like that. Again, add a fat. Again, it's absorbed better.
I see it too. I mean, all of these, obviously you're mentioning that you'd ingest, but is there any of these, is there any value if you're kind of putting that into some kind of a cream or something like as a topical?
We're going to get to one of those.
We'll get to that. Okay.
We'll get to one of those, but ginger's not one of those. Has been shown to reduce the COX-2. So have you heard of COX-2 inhibitors? These are drugs that are for pain, COX. Justin,
hey, don't look at me.
I don't need a face. So it's actually a natural COX-2 inhibitor, which pharmaceuticals that do that have some not so great,
too powerful,
not so great side effects. Next up is quercetin. Quercetin is found in onions, apples, broccoli. Quercetin's great for inflammation, but in particular, it's good for allergies. You guys are familiar.
I feel like we're building like a really good stew right now.
Like what's going on here? Yeah.
Like I think we could put that all together.
It's like in a cauldron and it's like a soup.
Yeah. No.
So this inhibits histamine release. So what's cool about quercetin? Now I've used quercetin and I haven't noticed it in the kind of inflammation that I can feel in my joints, but for sure noticed it with allergies. So I don't have terrible allergies, so I'll say that outright. I'm not one of those people that, like, sometimes, Adam, you'll suffer from, terrible allergies.
Yeah.
Mine are, like, hit or miss, but there are times of the year sometimes I'll feel it. And I remember my uncle, he's a herbalist. He's like, start taking quercetin on a regular basis. And it was pretty good. It was like, it felt to me like Claritin in terms of its effects.
Be interesting to pair that with local honey and see if you got this like synergistic effect, if that would help, you know?
Yeah. Great. That's a great point. So quercetin 500 to 1,000 milligrams a day. Then we have Boswellia or boswellic acid. This is like frankincense. The dose 100 to 300 milligrams a day. This one seems to have good effects again with osteoarthritis, irritable bowel syndrome, and asthma. That one you'll find in supplements.
Blood flow? What's it doing?
No, it really helps modulate the cytokines that your body produces. These are like inflammatory chemicals that you remember during COVID, the cytokine storm.
Yep.
They were talking about that. So that runs rampant and you can cause lots of problems. I'm not saying this is for that specifically, but just to kind of reference what cytokines are. So this helps modulate them to be a little bit healthier. There was a study that showed 100 to 250 milligrams a day reduced pain and osteoarthritis, rivaling NSAIDs. Okay. So for people with arthritis in this particular meta-analysis, it rivaled NSAIDs. That's good news for somebody who uses non-steroidal anti-inflammatories on a regular basis.
Wow.
Next are anthocyanins, blueberries, blackberries, tart cherries.
Mm-hmm.
These are really cool because you could buy tart cherry extract, about 240 to 480 milliliters of juice or 500 milligrams of the extract daily. This is good for athletic performance. You're starting to see tart cherry extract used by athletes.
Well, this is why Drew paired that with his creatine, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's in the creatine gummies.
The chews.
Yeah.
Yes. So this is really good for athletic performance. I see athletes using this more and more. The studies I've read on tart cherries shows reduced muscle soreness. And so athletes are able to train harder and more regularly when they supplement.
Antioxidant effects as well.
Yeah, well, yeah. All of them do.
Mm-hmm. But
you want to get the extract because you'd have to eat a lot of cherries to get the effective dose that they'll find in the studies, which you can do, but that might cause its own issues. I don't know if you guys have ever eaten too many cherries. It's like too many prunes. Too many prunes.
Right through, yeah.
And last up, capsaicin. You find this in chili peppers. Now, this is one that you can take it orally and it'll reduce inflammation, or you can use it as a cream. So this, in fact, they now use this in a lot of over-the-counter, like Bengay and stuff like that.
And it gives you that kind of burny, spicy feel. It
says good for psoriasis too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Not
rubbing
not,
chili peppers on my
not the cream
does not sound
not good. The cream orally, not the cream. So you can also supplement with it.
Okay.
2 to 5 milligrams a day.
So what would you use the cream for?
Like neuropathic pain, arthritis.
Okay.
Now that's different. But I don't think is happening. I don't think when you rub the cream on, the capsaicin is like penetrating deep into the joint and causing
just numbing the area.
Well, because it burns. It's like menthol. Okay. I think what it does is it sends a competing signal. It sends a competing signal so that your brain doesn't perceive.
Isn't that really pain. What's going on with Bengay and stuff like correct. That? That's like the science behind that is like it's really just a competing signal.
That's right.
No different than like if you have knee pain, I punch you in the face to help you out.
It's different than that because I don't want you to
punch me. A little less extreme.
I mean, similar though, right?
My wife, when I first met her, she gets migraines, really, really bad migraines. They're a lot better now, but she still gets them occasionally.
So you step on her toe.
No. It's like, how do you feel now? When I first met her, she had this little green bottle of oil that she got. She called it this Chinese green oil, okay? Because that's where she got it from. She used to travel with Cirque du Soleil. And she would take it and she put it like on her head. And she's like, it makes my pain go away. And that's when I put it together. I'm like, oh, it's distracting. It's sending a competing signal. Anyway, I had a friend of mine who came over, who used to do ministries in China, and he saw the little bottle. He's like, where did you get that? She were like, oh, we bought it on Amazon. He's like, every Chinese grandma has this in her house for pain. Yeah, dude, so anybody watching right now will know what I'm talking about.
Funny because I mean, I still to this day, if I don't have anything available, I'll pinch right here on my hand because we used to
when
do
you get
that.
A migraine?
Oh, yeah, because I get a headache or something like playing football. I was like, I had to keep playing somehow, and that was a good way to kind of distract it for a little bit, give me a temporary
until
relief.
You blast somebody.
And then it throbs harder.
You know what's interesting about all the stuff that I'm saying is that unlike pharmaceuticals, everything that I just said has health benefits.
Yeah.
So if you were to supplement,
not as taxing on your liver and kidneys.
Not only is it not taxing, it's good for you.
Yeah.
So everything I just listed, you could supplement. Now, there's probably a synergistic effect if you combine a few of them. I don't know about combining all of them, but you know, taking a couple of these that are, you know, that maybe the data you like the most or supports your particular chronic inflammation the most. Which, by the way, another thing, some people have poor sleep, and the poor sleep is due to inflammation, even though they don't feel pain. Mm. This is, by the way, you'll know this if you notice you get better sleep when you take an NSAID before you go to bed. Hmm. And some people, I know some people like this. Like my dad's like this. He doesn't have pain, but if he takes an NSAID before bed, he's like, I sleep better. And so I'm like, oh, it must be inflammation a little bit run amok. And so we use stuff like this, and he gets better sleep. But what I was going to say is every single thing I listed, even if you don't have inflammation that you know about or pain or anything like that, every single thing here has health benefits, longevity benefits, benefits for your organs, your heart, just overall, which is really cool about this because here you are trying to treat, and everything I listed here is inexpensive as a supplement, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think the most expensive thing you might find is like Boswellia. Everything else is super cheap. You could supplement with some of these things on a regular basis, and you just feel a lot better. And I've experimented with some of this stuff myself. And I just, from a performance standpoint, what it allowed me to do, I haven't done it in a long time, but back in the day, I was really into this because I had such a large percentage of my clients were older. And I was always, and I had at one point for like a whole year, I got into natural anti-inflammatory interventions. And I started experimenting with myself. And what I found was I could just work out more and harder. Like I could get away with doing more in the gym. So I could see the application for athletes.
So, yeah, I mean, there has to have been some study about inflammation in it in terms of like your fatigue setting on a bit quicker.
Totally.
As a result of that, right?
Totally.
So, yeah, because I mean, I felt that personally. And again, too, even with temperature and all that, how your body kind of tries to regulate, like it just exhausts you. And so to prevent that for an athlete is huge.
You know what's strongly correlated with inflammation, like low general inflammation? Bad moods. depression.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Anxiety. Of course.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I mean,
of course, you have this like low level chronic.
Even though you don't feel pain, your body's dealing with it. Well, your brain is not operating.
If you have systemic inflammation, your brain's inflamed too. Yeah. So I imagine that would throw you off the chemistry in there a bit too.
Yes. So. Yeah. So you'll see people will sometimes handle inflammation.
Or nagged out.
They're just in a better mood, even though they didn't necessarily feel pain because they're just reduced, or I should say, I hate saying reduced inflammation because it makes it sound like all inflammation's bad. They've just helped encourage a more healthy inflammatory response.
See, I wonder about that. And this is why I always perk up when we talk about like brain inflammation.
Yes.
Because I'm always like trying to address. And I feel like there's either a low level or some form of it that I'm always kind of like struggling with. And so that's, again, I have like a ritual where I'm constantly taking like the Ned brain blend.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm doing certain things that I'm wondering if that's helping reduce inflammation. It helps my cognitive ability.
Yes.
Definitely feel the difference.
The Ned is for inflammation too? In the brain?
Cannabinoids are very anti-inflammatory. Mm. Yeah, cannabinoids, especially neurologically, anti-inflammatory.
And what's the one? Is it CBC that's more targeted to?
CBC is pretty good for the brain. Yeah, cognition. So their brain blend is more of an uplifting.
Now, why wouldn't that be on your list of things?
Of cannabinoids?
Yeah.
These are the ones that are most commonly available to most people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm glad you brought it up because cannabinoids are also anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, I felt the difference.
Yeah, you use it I see you take it before we podcast every single time.
Yeah, I try to. You know, that's one of those I'm like, I could feel the difference, especially just trying to recall memories.
Yeah, the stuff in the brain blend is not, so the cannabinoids are anti-inflammatory, but they also include compounds in it that are pro-cognitive performance. So they put like lion's mane in there, they put ginkgo in there. So it's not specifically an anti-inflammatory supplement. It's more specifically like let's give you this function. This like optimized cognitive performance. So what I was gonna tell you, Justin, is what I think you would benefit a lot from would be to take curcumin at like 3 times a day with a fatty meal. Okay. And I bet you would notice. I bet you within a week.
Curcumin. All right.
Super cheap. You could go buy.
I swear I have that in the spice rack or something.
Well, Organifi has the actual pills too.
Yeah.
They have the pill form.
Oh, do they have the pill
form? Yeah, they have the pill form with the turmeric.
Yeah. You should.
That's how I used to take it, was through theirs.
Oh, yeah. I would say, dude, you should take that on.
We probably have some in the back.
On a regular basis.
I'm sure we
add it to the list.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Anyway, I got a study on regular napping. You guys want to hear it?
Yeah.
You guys don't nap, huh?
I wish.
You just can't nap.
I have a best friend that naps.
I like the idea of it. It's just
my best friend naps every day. Every day he's built that into his routine. And he has 2 kids and he still gets away with a nap.
My dream, like life.
It includes a nap?
Yeah. Like there's a lot more that goes in my dream nap life. But like if I lived a dream life, every day I would nap.
Really?
Every day.
Like where? Are you outside in a rocking chair? Or is this like you're going to bed?
Anywhere. Napping? I don't like napping in bed.
Yeah.
It's too
during
heavy.
During the day, it seems like such a waste.
It's just too heavy. I end up like, I get groggy. So I'll do it on the couch or
yeah, outside. I suck at it.
Yeah.
It's like, but there's like an art to napping.
You can't go too long.
Yeah, like there's like, a time? It's like a skill to even be able to do it, I feel like, in the middle of the day.
So you just can't.
I mean, I can't would be a strong word. I just did the other day. Where do we just go? And I took a little 20-minute. Oh, we were in Vegas, and we went up to our rooms.
Yeah.
I took a little, it's like that's like a 1 in 50. I hit a home run.
Usually, you just lay there with your eyes closed.
Yeah, or just toss and turn a little bit. Or I'm so exhausted, I do pass out, and then I sleep for an hour or two, and then I'm like, that's worse.
You can't sleep that night.
So that's what I mean by it's like an art to like napping the sweet spot of 20-something minutes and actually getting the rejuvenated feeling that you feel. I felt that like when we were in Vegas, it's like, oh, that was perfect. Yeah. Like it was short, but I felt like I needed that.
I had a client.
Isn't like in Spain, they have this as like part of the culture of the siestas.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a client, one of the healthiest older people I ever trained in my entire life. I've told you guys about this. He would like, this guy would crush me in workouts, and he was in his mid 60s at the time. So I was in my early 30s. And he was, you know, single guy or whatever, so he had all the time in the world, but he would swim regularly, cycle regularly. He lift weights with me twice a week. His diet was like super dialed. His testosterone was always super high. And part of his routine was every single day, every day in the middle of the day. He would go home and he would take a, I think it was like an hour nap every single day. And I swear that was part of his health. But it, this study shows that regular napping is linked to 2.5 to 6.5 years of slower brain aging. Habitual daytime nap has been genetically linked to a 15.8 centimeter larger total brain volume, which reflects less age-related shrinkage and neuroprotection.
Huh. So the problem with that is, though, like, I mean, how does that compare to just sleep in general? Like, if you, all those things would be improved with good rest, period.
Yeah.
So is it really all that it's measuring is that these people are getting more rest? And so if you compare that, if the, I would want to see a control of people who get adequate good rest and then also nap, is it improved?
Yes.
Or is it improving because so many people get shit sleep and so all these people that took these
naps?
Yes
and yes, yeah. Both.
Yeah.
Both. So there's napping for people who get good sleep, also good. Yeah. Napping to get bad sleep, it's like a big help. Definitely a big help.
Yeah, I imagine that.
Have you guys heard of the, I don't even know if this is true. I'd love Doug to look this up. Have you guys heard that a long time ago, people used to sleep differently than we do now?
Have you ever heard of the crazy, like, sleep 15 minutes a day, all day long, like, strategy?
No, what the hell?
Yes, dude, it's a crazy, like, look it's this terrible. Up, Doug. I had a client
that made me want to shoot someone
who did this. I mean, you say that, but then supposedly if you do it really well, it's like super effective. Like you sleep on the hour, every hour, every other hour, something like that for just a short period of time. Yeah, it's weird.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's crazy.
Getting back up again, then do it. Like,
I actually had like the DVD that went with like training on it. I was like, it only took me.
I go like mental.
Yeah, yeah. A long time ago.
Yeah. This is a long time ago. This is when I was a young trainer. I was in my early 20s, so it was a client of mine.
I read, I don't know how true this is, that people used to go to bed highly potentially in a healthy sleep pattern. That's not the one I was talking about.
No, that's when you're talking
about. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there. So he's sleeping 15 minutes every hour.
Doug, look up like, I don't know if called? It's biphasic sleeping.
Polyphasic is what it's called.
Anything with that starts with poly is
usually crazy. Avoid those. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there was one where I read about this where people used to go to bed when the sun went down, then they'd wake up around 1 a.m. and this is when they would like read by candlelight, like they'd read the Bible or they'd get a little meal, then they'd go back to sleep. And is this true, Doug, that people used to sleep this way?
So this makes sense if you live in places like Alaska and these places where it's like dark for sometimes half the year. It's like super dark over there for how many hours?
Have you heard about how that messes people up?
Oh, I bet.
Oh yeah,
I bet.
Yeah.
Or when just the sun doesn't light. Go down.
Well, isn't it one of the areas that are higher in depression harder. And stuff like that and suicide? Yeah. Like, isn't it higher over there?
Yeah.
Is that right? Like, I know it's like, it can't be good, I would think.
Yeah. This one right here. Let's see if Doug can find this. I've read, it is true. Historically, many people in pre-industrial societies practiced biphasic sleep. They go to bed early. They'd wake up in the middle of the night for a period of wakefulness, then go back to sleep for a second phase. This pattern is often referred to as first sleep and second sleep. Get more into the explanation. Weird. What does this look like? They'd go to bed around 9 or 10 p.m. and sleep for a few hours. Then they'd wake up for an hour or two. During this time, they might engage in various activities such as praying, meditating, having sex, smoking, chatting with neighbors, or even doing chores. Then...
random series of things.
They go back to sleep until sunrise. You know why this makes sense to me?
Why? Mm.
Okay, think pre-industrial.
It's dark and there's not a lot going on.
Well, think about pre-industrial like families. You don't have bedrooms. There's one room. It's you, your wife, and your seven kids.
Right.
When are you going to have sex?
Okay.
Middle of the night.
This only all revolves around. Oh,
so,
you're
keeping, so your kids aren't biphasic sleeping, they're sleeping normally.
They're all the way through. Yeah. You're like hitting your wife. Shh, it's time.
Yeah.
It's time to wake up. That's weird. I would almost want to try that.
I kind of feel like I accidentally do that a lot.
Just get up to pee.
Yeah, I wake up to go pee around the hour three or four, and I'm up sometimes.
Did you know? I just learned about something for you. There is a peptide that you might want to try.
Thought I heard someone talking about that. Who told us? Was this Jay or someone else?
Someone else. So you might, there's an actual peptide that you could take. It's actually, you can prescribe it. You get it prescribed. That helps a person's bladder relax a little bit so they could sleep throughout the night.
So I pee myself instead?
No, no, you don't pee. It won't wake up. You know how you always, you've said for years since you were a kid?
Yeah.
That you have to wake up every night?
So I also heard that it's not because I pee, I wake up, and then that's what makes me, and then I
that's
have
That's what I thought.
That's what people have told
Until,
me. I certainly don't feel that way.
No.
Because I know, like, if I actually discipline myself to not have any fluids, like, hours before I go to bed, which is really hard to do for me, but if I actually do that, I can actually sleep through most of the night.
No, it's called.
So I don't believe it's a. I wake up and then I have to go pee. It's like
oh,
I have to go
Doug, pee, look so it up. Mirabegron, Mirabegron.
Can we talk a little bit about? I know this isn't like a peptide day and stuff like that, but I am because we just got back and Jay gave me the sex peptide. Can you tell me? Tell me a little bit about
it? PT141.
Yeah, can you tell me a little bit about it? I don't know anything about
that
it.
It's a peptide. It works on the melanocrysite. I don't know how to say it. These are the receptors that you can activate and get your skin to get darker a little bit. One of the side effects was increased libido.
Oh, is that the same supplement that we or the same peptide that you could take to make your skin tanner?
It's similar.
Oh, it's not the same.
It's similar.
Because I thought that sounded like a different name.
No, so it's similar, but one of the side effects was that people's libidos would go up, but it's also high in other side effects like nausea and face flushing. So he was saying that he has a version of it or whatever that, yeah.
So I might get horny, but I might throw up on my wife.
Also. That makes it weird.
Yeah,
that kills the mood.
Totally different genre.
But yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so, Mirabegron, I think I'm saying it right. It's a prescription medication, but it's also a peptide. Used to treat symptoms of an overactive bladder in adults. And you can give it to children 3 years and older. So overactive bladder.
I'm totally down to try it.
Yeah. And you're supposed to take it before you go to bed.
Yeah, I'm down to try it.
Do you know why I heard about this?
Why?
Here's the wonderful world of bodybuilding. It's a beta-3 androgenic receptor agonist. So you know where the side effects is?
What, I get muscle?
Leaner.
Oh, I get leaner too.
Yeah. So of course, bodybuilders are like, "Hey, dude, take this before you go to bed. You'll get leaner."
I mean, I would totally be open to it. I mean, because I know that impacts my sleep.
I wonder if that's what you have, Doug. Look up what was the title? What was that called?
Overactive bladder.
Yeah, look up overactive bladder syndrome symptoms. Let's see if it's Adam. Let's see if it lists Adam.
I mean, yes. You see, it's a picture of me.
No, you know what I mean. Like, if it talks, like, let's read it and see if that's.
I mean, I have a feeling it's gonna.
You imagine I just diagnosed you after years of you be struggling with.
I mean, I don't even know if I need someone to diagnose me to tell me I have an overactive
urinary urgency, a sudden strong need to urinate that is difficult to control, frequent urination, needing to urinate more than 8 times in a 24-hour period.
That's all me.
Nocturia, waking up 2 or more times a night to urinate.
That's all me. So I checked all 4 boxes. So
urge incontinence, leaking urine when there is a sudden urge to urinate.
That doesn't happen.
Okay.
You're not
pelvic pain or discomfort. You don't get that either.
So long as I shake really well, I don't have any of those.
You're
problems.
Fine. Yeah. What if we just figured out that you have this condition?
I'm certain I have that condition, but I didn't like. What is
I'm
that?
Gonna get this for you.
Let's solve it though. Like that's the real.
What if
thing.
You took this and it fixed it? And you had the best sleep of your life.
I could be life-changing.
Could you guys imagine? Could you guys imagine right now if Adam's irritability is a result of that?
That has nothing to do.
You wake up 2 times every night. That would make anybody annoyed.
Environmental.
I mean, if you've been doing it your whole life like me, you've got it down to a science. Hence the, you know, like not it's like sitting down to pee. I wake up and I don't open my eyes. Yeah, I'm awake. I'm I keep my eyes pretty much closed. Make my way to the bathroom, do my thing, and then come back. I'm trying to.
Two times every night.
At least 2 times every night.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Bro, you have overactive bladder syndrome.
I'm more like 2 to 4 is pretty regular.
Ever since you were how old?
As far as I can remember.
You have overactive bladder syndrome.
I mean, I had no idea there was a name for it, but if they can solve it.
How much
it.
You love your friend Sal? That just
I mean, I'll love you if you fix it. If you just diagnose me with a term that doesn't do me any good, I don't care.
Damn.
So
I was totally thinking about you because I was talking to somebody. I'll say it was. They were talking about this like peptide that's a fat burner. It's a beta-3, receptor, you know, agonist or whatever, which you target that receptor and your body burns more calories. So like clenbuterol is one of those things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently this is like, it doesn't feel like clenbuterol and blah, blah, blah. He's talking to me about it. I'm like, what's it used for? He's like, oh, overactive bladder syndrome. Like, what's that? And so he's telling me and I'm like, Adam, I got to bring this up to Adam. I wonder if that's what he has.
That's totally me.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
What are some of my, like, do I have any bad things I should be looking for? Because I know everybody tries to tie it to like prostate stuff, like, but it's like, no.
But you had this since you were a kid.
Yeah, my whole life. It runs in my family. My uncle, my cousin, we all are like that. It's like the big joke. We all go to like the restaurant together. We're all like in the bathroom, like every
Is there half hour. A connection to neurological issues, Doug? Look up overactive bladder syndrome and neurological issues. Let's not scare Adam. Maybe we should.
Yeah. This is what you do to yourself right here. He's like, start with, I got this thing, and then now let's see all the bad things that are connected to that. Oh my God, I'm gonna die.
Well, I mean, it could. It's obviously coming from a neurological standpoint.
Well, it definitely can't be good for sleep and overall health.
Closely related with neurological issues. So it could be. Yeah. You have nerve damage? Maybe nerve damage, but also not. Also, because I did read up a little bit on this. So.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, bro, if we fix this, would be life changing.
I mean, I'm totally down to try it. I mean, it absolutely could be life changing. Yeah, I couldn't imagine. I don't even know what it would be like to have a week of like full night arrest and not waking up one time. Like that.
And
would
you
be
think?
Weird.
And you think? Like, be honest. You think that doesn't make you more irritable?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe. I mean, I definitely don't think it's helping.
I'm so motivated to fix this.
Yeah, right now. I can lose my edge.
Exactly. He could be too chill.
All of a sudden, you become like,
yeah, bro. So like, I'm anybody. So passive then after that. I'm just like, oh, yeah, no man. Big deal.
Yeah. You know, like, what are you talking about, Adam? Yeah. Our performance.
Oh, you want a discount? Sure, we'll give you a discount. Yeah.
No, get him.
Yeah, that's part of my edge. Maybe I don't know. So
it's not that you go back.
Yeah, but I would love to see what it feels like to get that kind of.
Have you had?
Yeah, I've had it done like twice.
I hate those.
Yeah. So bad, it was awful.
Terrible. All right. Anyway, I have a study on green tea study. That's kind of cool. A new study finds that men aged 45 plus who drank green tea daily for over 20 years had 30% higher testosterone.
Wow.
27% lower inflammation.
Bro, that's high.
And 32% lower insomnia scores compared to non-drinkers. That's 20 years, though. Now, EGCG, which is one of the components in green tea, is anti-inflammatory, so that makes sense. Higher testosterone, that's an interesting one. I'd like to see if there's a healthy user bias. Like, people who drink more green tea are more likely to do these other things, you know?
Yeah.
I know that EGCG is in some testosterone-boosting supplements because of some of that data. That's kind of cool, huh?
That is
cool. I used to drink green tea like crazy.
I had a question for you guys. This is along the lines of what we were talking about the other day. I was going through those table questions. I had another one that was really cool for everybody. If you you're stranded on an island, okay?
By myself.
Well, here's your option: either by yourself or with your worst enemy. What would you choose and why?
Oh, worst enemy.
You were quick.
Easy.
Wow.
Easy. Yeah, easy.
Person you hate the most, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's still another person.
Yeah.
Either we make friends or I have food.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. I didn't process it like that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Could eat them.
Then you're also fighting for resources initially.
Oh, that's also true too. You got to share the bananas.
Yeah.
What would you do, Justin?
Yeah. I would have to have my enemy, I think. I think anytime you have an extra person around, as much as like it's a pain in the ass, like you can get a lot more accomplished.
Yeah, dude.
And so, but yeah, like, I mean, he might not be there very long.
Yeah. Bro, the circumstances would think about the circumstances. You're both trapped.
Listen, don't
I've watched
it.
Alone enough. Like, I think I've watched. Because
I've watched Alone in the
I know how like they're all trying to figure out like
yeah but they okay so my they counter argument better. And I'm not saying I disagree with you guys.
Well,
so
the counter is like,
yeah, Dad, what do you say?
I'm gonna be by myself.
Oh, right. See, so I mean,
that's because you're a hermit.
Because I mean, those are some of the most happy, peaceful guys, and they're
disconnected.
Well, are you trying to get off the island and like leave? And
no, you're stranded. You're stuck there,
like forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I'm by myself.
Yeah. Oh, so you're by yourself now. You switched, huh?
Yeah.
And you for sure.
I feel like being alone, you guys don't realize this, obviously. Being alone is one of the worst tortures you can.
That's for you and I, dog.
No, these that's guys just are the like, data.
Somebody's trying to kill you all the time. That's not very exciting.
God, is your worst enemy going to try and kill you?
Who knows? I don't have any enemies, so I can't really think of that.
That's also why he's so quick. Oh, yeah, but think of the person you like the least.
Sure.
And go through your head of like people you can't stand, you would still want them on.
Yeah. I think the circumstances.
I mean, I'm with you too, because I think I would win them over eventually.
Me too.
That would be my strategy. Would be like, I'll find a way to like them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd just wouldn't let the fact that I don't like them bother me.
Yeah,
like,
dude. Or you just let them on the other side. I'll live here. But I mean, think about that.
I hadn't thought about that. Like, I could kill them if I needed to.
Yeah.
Like, but that would also.
That's a resource. Now you'd be alone. I know. That's what made me
think. And then you have a lot of guilt. You know what I'm saying? Like, guilt all by yourself would be awful.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be an event, though, you know, something exciting.
Yeah, but short-lived. Yeah. But I actually didn't think that you said that makes a lot of sense, too, is sharing resources. You're on a stranded island, and you don't have, like, a lot of resources.
I don't have an enemy that would try to kill me. I can't think of someone that I would, you know what I mean, would try to kill me that I know.
But catching fish, you're definitely going to, like, somebody else there to help would be, like, vital.
And think about, okay, if the question was posed, like, you alone or you alone with, a psycho killer, well, yeah, alone. But my worst enemy that I can think of isn't a psycho.
Yeah,
killer.
No, I think it's more like you're thinking of the people, a person you despise or don't like the most, you know?
So. Circumstances would cause, I believe, peace between those two people.
I think so, too. If you're stranded on an island.
It's like, what else are we going to do?
Yeah, we got to work
together. We might as well be friends and forgive each other.
I mean, I imagine that's probably what part of the exercise is like, you know, you really don't like this person. But imagine if you were on an island, they're the only person, you would find a way to mend those things, right? Or work together. And so maybe that's what the exercise is really all about. Uh-huh. It's like, you better that than to be all alone, but it's because we have this luxury of all kinds of people, and it's like, so I can choose to hate you.
What's one thing if you were trapped on an island that you could take with you by yourself? One thing, just one thing. What would you take?
Your iPhone.
Stupid.
Well, I mean,
no reception.
Okay. Cheating. Okay, so not that. So something else. Probably the Bible.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
That would, because you could
stay. I'd take a fishing pole.
Well, okay, so something utility-wise.
Anything, I'd take a fishing rod.
Okay, well then, yeah, no, I would take like a knife or a fishing rod or a gun.
Yeah, you ran out of bullets, what are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
Fishing pole, you could catch fish all day.
You could also make a fishing pole, though, too. So,
with what?
Fishing line. Is,
I want a big ass.
Does a pole axe. Come? Hey, does the pole come with a fishing line? Because then that's
two things. It's a complete fishing, yeah.
Well, that's kind of like cheating then.
Right? So the gun comes with bullets, too.
Yeah,
exactly. You ran out of bullets.
Yeah, see? So
flint. I'm going flint.
That's pretty good.
Why would I mean starting a fire is everything.
Yeah, it is. I don't know how to start a fire.
With, yeah, if you don't have
and
a
you
fire.
Could make, and you could use stuff on the island to create your own makeshift fishing net and fishing pole. If you watch Alone, you can do that stuff. You can figure it out. But yeah, I feel like
I'm dead, bro. If I'm an island, I'm dead. I don't have to do anything.
I think you'd be surprised.
I don't think I'd be surprised at all.
I surprise myself sometimes when I have to do something. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what was I just doing around the house the other day? And Katrina was like, she was like so amazed. I was just like,
put up a painting. Yeah, something like that. I could do this.
She was so impressed that I could do that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's because I don't have to. That it seems like I can't.
I convinced my wife tries to make me feel better about the fact that I'm not good putting things together, because she'll buy stuff from Amazon.
Yeah.
And part of it is because this is how she gets me to put shit together. She'll start it. And she'll always be like, I can't finish this. Can you help me?
That's just a smart strategy. That's just a smart strategy right there.
But then I'll like put it together. You know what I mean? I'll feel kind of like, oh yeah, there you go. I did something cool.
I have moments where I enjoy it. I don't care. I wish I can remember what the hell I was doing. I was doing something the other day, and it was like an all day thing of working around the house. And sometimes it's very rewarding to do it. Other times it's annoying. So it really depends on
if I have space for it, I actually enjoy it.
Yeah. Like, I like
manual labor.
I think that's the way to look at it. It's like, if I have space for it, and it's like, and that's what it was. It was like a day where it's like, you know what? And like, I didn't go to the gym. So I'm like, I'm going to do this manual labor all day. And so I'll feel good. Like, I've exercised and moved and I accomplished something for the house or something. It was like, okay, makes sense. But most,
you know, what helps me with that is listening to music. If I listen to music that I'm really into, while I'm doing something productive, it completely changes the experience. It's an enjoyable.
Have to do that.
Now it's like a totally enjoyable.
Oh, thing. I remember what it was. I had to take down all the. Did I tell you what happened to us with the Best Buy TVs things? This was the This was the dumbest, most ridiculous.
This is so stupid.
This was the dumbest, most ridiculous thing ever. So
one star.
Oh yeah, I'm like so. In fact, I'm glad we bring this up so I can.
Oh, I had a really bad experience too. Like,
bro, listen to this. Okay, so first of all, we buy those new picture frame TVs.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when you are in the store, they advertise these things as so amazing that they're flush to the wall. They're like a picture frame. Yeah, right. And that. What they don't tell you, and they don't show you in the store because it's hidden behind the wall or wherever, is that it you have to have this big old box with a wire attached to it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that's stupid.
Yeah, that defeats the whole.
That defeats the whole purpose. So, and I didn't know that till I already paid for it, paid somebody to mount them and do that, and they show up there and I'm like, now I got this ugly wire and box hanging out on this. And the whole point was to have this kind of TV that doesn't look like a TV. It's supposed to look like a picture frame. Right. Like, no picture frame has a wire and a box hanging to it. So I was already upset about that, and I was like, okay, this is lame. Well, that so I tell Katrina, I'm like, call in. You know, we may as well switch these out, get or put back our regular TVs. So we find out that in 30 days, they're coming out with a wireless version of that. Now, luckily, I'm like some gold member person or something. I have no idea, but they're like, oh, you have up to like 90 days to like return anything, no question asked, sort of that. I was like,
So switch it out, wireless.
So, exactly. So I'm like, cool, switch it out. So that was like, okay, that's going to be the fix. Now, I also had to, because it's new technology, same exact thing, just wireless now, was like an extra $1,000 per TV, which is stupid, right? But whatever. So I do. I pay the fee. So they're already, we had them already mounted on the up on the walls, the other ones, and they say, okay, we're going to exchange it. Okay, so took us like weeks to get someone scheduled to come out there. So the dudes show up, right?
And so they're there to mount the new ones.
Yeah, yeah. So they're there to
switch them out.
No, pick up the old ones. Oh, well, this is what we're under the impression they're here to switch them out. Take the old ones off, take them back with them, put the new ones back on.
Got it.
So they show up and no, they're not those guys. They're the guys that just take these, and then we have to schedule the Geek Squad to bring the other ones out.
Okay.
And so they get there to come get it and they go, "Oh, they're not off the wall. You have to have them off the wall. Wait a second. You guys put them up on the wall. We paid you the extra money for them."
They put them up on the wall and they won't take them down to take them back?
Yes. So they have to leave. So then I have to schedule again. Listen to this. It gets crazier. I have to schedule again these guys. But this time I have to pull, by the way, too, same exact effing mount. But I have to take that mount, that TV, completely off and ready.
So you have to give them the mount back so they could put the exact same one back up.
Yes. And not only that, but those guys aren't the guys that do it. So I have to schedule that appointment for them to take the TVs that I have to take down myself.
See, this is when I'm happy AI is going to replace.
Oh my God. And so, and then you had to book someone. I was so anyways, I got so frustrated with it to save the time. I'm like, just let's go get the TVs. I'm going to mount them. I'm going to put them up myself and everything like that. Yeah. So we don't have to wait for this whole bullshit game back and forth. But so anyways, I ended up doing all of it.
So you took them down?
Yes. I took them down. I put them up. Because Katrina was
the whole running the wall.
Yeah, yeah. There's only like 70 holes in the wall. You can't see it's behind the TV. You don't say it doesn't matter. Yeah, so that's right.
Oh, when you missed one of the other more holes. Yeah, yeah. I hate that, dude.
It got there. But I mean, how annoying is that? I mean,
annoying.
What a terrible. And then found out too that they were going to charge me again, which is what made me finally do it. I'm like, all right, now it's a principal thing for me.
You just reminded
me. That's like, I'm doing this on Saturday.
Reminded me of something that's similar. Like, you know, my wife will never order a wedge salad. You know why?
Why? I love wedge salads.
Because she's like, it's the laziest salad ever. You didn't even chop it. You just gave me a big piece of it's just like, all it is a salad without you doing anything
to it. It's a quarter of a
and it's more expensive.
A head of lettuce.
And I laugh because I'm like, it's true. Yeah, it's just the
they
salad.
They chop a wedge
and they drizzle.
They don't do anything. They just throw it in the bowl and pour some stuff.
I like it, though.
It's a lazy salad. Yeah.
It's a lazy salad.
It's my favorite.
She's off the principle.
I love wedges.
It's because you like all the dressing. Yeah. And stuff like that. I thought that was hilarious.
That is true.
Anyway, I got to bring up a study on sodium and low-carb diets. So they did the study on low-carb dieters, keto dieters, and found that when they supplemented with 4 to 5 grams, okay,
whoa,
not 4 to 5.
That's like 4 packets of
Element.
Wow. Yeah,
4 to 5 grams, they had excellent performance.
Interesting. So there's still upward.
When you go low-carb or no-carb, your body gets rid of water. You need more sodium to hold on to that water.
Well, I know I've heard you recommend to people before who are live callers that are doing like lower carb or they eat really clean and you tell them to go at least one, if not 2 packets a day. Yes. But it sounds like there's positive benefits.
Well, 45 always, grams total. So if they're getting sodium from their diet also, but if you're low carb.
Yeah, but if you're low carb.
When you run, like what would be some of the symptoms? Is it, it's like diarrhea, like
if low energy,
too much,
if low energy.
Too much sodium.
Oh, too much.
Oh, high blood pressure. You might get diarrhea.
Yeah. Yeah, but Justin, if you're eating a whole natural.
Upper threshold.
Whole natural food and you're eating low carb, it would be hard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Unless in comparison, the amount of
preservatives
elements you'd have to eat, drink to go right. too high. Because I remember I told you guys I used to have this article and I kept it on my desk in the gym back in the days to show people like the amount of sodium that was. Now, granted, this was also when we used to think sodium was bad, and so that's why I used it and kept it up there. But that you could like dump salt on every bit of your whole food, and for a week, I think it was a week of. Like three meals a day, whole foods, yeah. salting the shit out of
like
it.
One McDonald's
was one eating out meal. Yeah. It was like, that's how, and they had to like show the amount of salt. It's like crazy amount. So the amount of people that eat out and get that much sodium.
I'm fully convinced that every time that whenever people go low carb or no carb and they get keto flu or they feel terrible.
Yeah, it's gotta be not, related.
It's the sodium.
Oh, I think you,
and I know this right. now because I've had enough people do that
and
where I go,
bump that.
That's right. I go, hey, take an element packet. Let me know how you feel.
Yeah. Oh,
and they'll drink it. And literally 10 minutes later, they're like, oh, I feel good.
I agree.
I'm back to normal.
Yeah. No, anyway, I totally agree.
I want to talk about the video series that you guys both did. And so now, I guess it's my turn or Doug's turn.
Yeah.
Video series.
We're going to do it.
YouTube so, series.
I'm resistant because, I'm trying to work on my relationship to exercise. And, because I have a bit of a dysfunctional one. I get a little obsessive and, I don't know if it's body dysmorphia still, but there's definitely a dysfunction going on there. And a video series, I was apprehensive because that'll trigger me for sure. Like I'm gonna get on video and now I'm gonna try and get more jacked, or I'm gonna try and lift a new weight, or like what am I gonna do type of deal. But I think you might have convinced me, Adam, to do it and just be real and talk about how like that's the idea. The idea is to do the series and work on my relationship to exercise, focus on health, maybe mobility. Measures that are not going to push me in an unhealthy direction.
I
it'll be interesting, dude.
I love this, and the reason why I was so aggressive with pushing you to do this because I actually think you are going to help a ton of people. I think there's a lot of people that listen to this podcast.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people in the health and fitness space that are we talk about it all the time. We say like some of the most obsessive people with bad relationships with exercise are the fittest people that we all admire and look up to. So I think you sharing and being honest with people that you are aware of that, because the rest of them are all in denial. The rest of them are still selling it as a healthy way to live. But you being honest with the audience and saying, hey, it's a hard thing for me. And this is what I'm doing to work on it. I think it'll be therapeutic for you. Two, I think it actually is going to reach and help a lot of people.
Yeah, so that'll probably be the direction. And I'm open book with stuff like that. So I'll be talking about all the things that I'm interested in, including my spiritual journey, which is closely connected to me addressing this with fitness. So we'll see. I was apprehensive because I'm like, man, what am I going to do? Get like a fitness goal? I thought I'm going to deadlift something. I'm like, that's going to pull me right back into
the opposite of the spiral that I've
been trying so hard to get out of.
Yeah, opposite. Which is great because I think you doing that is different than I did the aesthetic goal. Justin did the performance goal. Now you have I think longevity.
Zen holistic.
Holistic longevity focus, healthy relationship with exercise and nutrition, which we communicate and talk about all the time. So I'm actually really looking forward to the conversations and the workouts and the stuff that you do and have. I think that it's going to be great for the audience. Yeah. So
we'll see. We'll see, but I think that's the only direction I can think of that would be authentic, because that's important. I can't do something that's not going to feel authentic, and what would feel inauthentic for me is to push a fitness goal because it's so against what I'm working so hard to.
Well, work I was going
to say that's a back and forth struggle.
Being inauthentic and more of like that's like the opposite of what you're trying to do right now.
That's what I mean. So that's why I wouldn't be authentic. Yeah. Because if I'm going to do that, it's like counter from what I'm really trying to work on.
Yeah.
Right now with fitness, which has been this not lifelong, but a lot of my life struggle. So.
No, I think this is I think this is great. Yeah. I'm excited for it. Because Justin's just wrapped up, right? Did we just wrap his up?
Yeah, we just wrapped it up.
His is wrapped up, and so
it's 315 jerk press. Keep pushing that. Anyway, trainers and coaches, we're still hiring. It's a slow process because we only want the best. So if you want to be a trainer, actually work for us, go to mindpumppersonaltraining.com/apply. If you think you've got the right stuff, apply. ButcherBox delivers the healthiest meat, chicken, and fish to your door at great prices. This is grass-fed, grass-finished beef. This is wild-caught fish. By the way, they have a new box they put together with our favorite cuts of meat. Check it out. Go to butcherbox.com/mindpump. You'll also get $20 off your first box and free chicken breast, ground beef, or salmon included in every box for free for an entire year. Back to the show.
Our first caller is Kimberly from Delaware.
Kimberly, how's it going?
How you doing?
Hello, hello.
Hey, guys.
How can we help you?
Thanks for taking my call. You can call me Kim. I'll go right into my question. To preface this, sorry if you hear any screaming children. So I'm a 34-year-old mom of two. I have a four-year-old. I'm currently 14 weeks postpartum. I had an uncomplicated vaginal birth, no tearing, no epidural, not to brag. It's a long story. but I'll say that recovery has been much smoother than with my first birth, which I'll credit to lifting weights consistently 3 days a week, along with pelvic floor therapy, you know, during pregnancy. After being cleared at 6 weeks, I eased back in with light dumbbells, mobility, pelvic floor work for another 6 weeks. I'm still in pelvic floor therapy, you know, really just working on that connection back to my deep core. And I just started MAPS Muscle Mommy last week. Now, pre-pregnancy, I was in the best shape of my life, like aesthetically. Like I felt great. You know, I hadn't given birth in 4 years. So I was far away from like that postpartum part of my life. I've been lifting consistently for 2 to 3 years. At the time I was doing a little more volume, like a 4-day upper lower split. I worked with a coach who taught me how to track macros. So basically I was like really lean pre-pregnancy. After a 12-week cut, and I was only in maintenance for about like a month or two before I got pregnant, but I was able to maintain at like 2400 calories, a weight of like 123 to 125 pounds. Realistically, now I have 3 days to get into the gym. I try to walk like 8,000 steps a day. Sometimes it's a little more. My question for you, just after giving you that background, so now that I've started MAPS Muscle Mommy, A, is this the right program for me at 14 weeks postpartum? And if I'm only lifting 3 days a week and not looking to do extra work at home, are the trigger sessions necessary? And secondly, I am breastfeeding, and for me, you know, fat loss, like I'm sure a lot of women have this issue, but I hang on to fat. So I know that I might not be able to obviously focus on fat loss until I'm done nursing, but what are realistic expectations for me to, you know, potentially lean out a little more in the future without compromising my recovery?
Yeah, really good question. By the way, you did everything right. You did everything right. Everything sounds amazing. I'm super happy to hear about the uncomplicated childbirth, the pelvic floor exercises, the strength training leading into it, the fact that you were in a cut and shortly after went maintenance, still got pregnant, which means you're healthy even in the cut, typically. Like, you are doing absolutely great.
Yeah.
Typically, muscle mommy this soon.
A little early.
Is a little early. Now, that being said, you know, there is a bit of an individual variance because you were so fit going into it. So you're going to have to really pay attention to your body and also have appropriate goals so that you don't compromise things like your functionality and your health. Because here's the reality. I'm going to have you answer this because I've never had babies. I've never carried babies, I should say. especially with your first child, how shocking and insane are the body changes during pregnancy for a woman?
Oh, I mean, it's a mind fuck, you know. It's you know, it is. And I've always been like a pretty petite person. And so for someone who's like short, like a short stature, like you just feel like you're growing at an uncontrollable rate. So yes, it's shocking. It's shocking. With my first pregnancy though, you know, I was one of those who I was chasing the cardio. I was like the boot camps, the HIIT, like even postpartum. And so while now, like the changes weren't as shocking, like once you've been through it one time, but you know, I will say that I think that the strength training is kind of what like changed the game for me for this recovery, even though, you know, I'm still feeling pretty large as we speak.
It makes a big difference. But the reason why I wanted you to say that, I mean, it is, to me, it's the most, one of the most fascinating things is to study how the female body physiologically, forget the psychological and emotional changes, which are also radical. Like crazy things happen psychologically and emotionally. Like you become hypervigilant when you have a baby, you wake up to sounds, or it's hard to go to sleep. And your body, it completely gears itself to hosting this child and keeping it healthy. And so everything in your body is like, I don't care what your goals are. My goal is let's have this baby be healthy. And so one of my favorite pictures is an anatomy picture of a 9-month pregnant woman, and to show where the organs and everything go to make room for baby. It's like, how does that all fit up in your chest cavity? It's pretty wild. So your body goes this incredible, miraculous, amazing, but also shocking change. And what we tend to do is after having a baby, we're like, let's get back to where we were. But man, that took 9 months, which sometimes when you look at the changes, like, oh my God, all that happened in 9 months, but it's still 9 months. And you're also breastfeeding, and there are hormonal changes that occur during breastfeeding that, again, your body's gearing. It's really organized in a way to provide sustenance to this baby, and it really doesn't care about your fitness goals. It really doesn't care. So really the idea, the goal during this period of time is to just be healthy and functional. You also have the complications of, besides breastfeeding, the complications of, I have another child, which is just wild. You have one, now you have two. So it's like, okay, I gotta think about this. Your sleep is, even the best sleep postpartum is not compared. You can't compare the sleep you had to before you had kids. Like that was like beautiful, worry-free sleep. Now you have two kids, you got an infant. So it's very, very different. And so you have to consider all that. So the goal should be, if you want to do this in a way that is satisfying, and that will bring you joy, is how do I do this in a way that gives me the functionality, the energy that I need to care for these kids and to remain healthy? And whatever I look like as a result of that, so be it. Now, I'll tell you this right now, the way you'll look if you follow that is healthy. You might not look shredded, you might not look jacked, but you're gonna look healthy, okay? In my experience, and one of the things I hate about social media is it paints these ridiculous, unrealistic expectations for everybody, but really does this for women postpartum. It really does this. And you have these like fitness fanatic, body obsessed, orthorexic women who are like 12 weeks postpartum, and they show their body and you're like, okay, I guess this is possible. Well, yeah, if you're a psycho and if you're unhealthy, maybe. But in my experience, training many, many women pre, during, and post pregnancy, they don't feel fully 100% like they used to.
After a year.
Usually it's between 1 to 2 years. Yeah. In my experience, it's usually around 2 years. Usually when the kid is about 2 years old, they're like, oh my God, I feel like I used to. Okay. So really it's going to be about functionality and feeling good. So Muscle Mommy potentially could be the program. MAP Starter typically is more appropriate for the first 3 to 4 months, usually in my experience. A lot of this is going to be based off feel. I think you should skip workouts when you have poor sleep. I think walking is great. And I think when you feel good, you go a little bit harder. But really judge everything based off of the energy that I have to be a mom. Because that that's the best barometer during this period of time. It also leads to the fastest recovery in my experience. Because in my experience, you have with women who are fitness, who are dedicated to fitness, they almost always overstep. It's like, that's always the balance. It's like doing too much. So that would be my advice.
I'd say all in all, I think you're kicking ass, and the decisions that you've made, the things that you did before, the things you're doing now, I think you're right on track. I guess the only question that I would have is, I'm just, because I know in your question you had written, or your what you wrote in, that you had tried Map Starter, but you didn't like the programming. I think I just would want to hear what you mean by that. So maybe gives me better insight.
So I guess I probably shouldn't say that I didn't like the programming, but for me, I looked at it and then the 4 days, and then I want to say like maybe 3 trigger sessions and 1 rest day. It overwhelmed me personally, only because, you know, and I'm sure that there's a way I could maybe modify it or just follow it and do 3 days a week instead. Sure. But I guess the reason I kind of was like, I don't know. Yeah, it kind of, I looked at it and I was like, I know I cannot like commit to 4 days.
Okay.
Like, even if it's like from home, like, yeah. I was doing, like, when I was, you know, when I had one child, which is like a vacation in comparison to having two, and plus he's 4. So, you know, I had a lot more time and a super flexible job. So the 4 days was like really doable for me. And when I worked with the coach and trainer for my cut, you know, it was like a pretty decent amount of volume. I don't know that I ever will be going back to 4 days. I really, you know, and I know you guys even recommend just 2 to 3.
Yeah.
The reason I didn't, you know, to answer your question, Starter, the 4 days, you know, kind of threw me off. And I was like, I don't know.
Oh, that's,
if you have,
that helps.
You know. Yeah.
That helps, because, it makes total sense. And if you were my client, what we would do is we would just modify Starter. I was looking just to make sure, because sometimes what someone would be, oh, Starter is too basic, too easy. Yeah. I wanted something more challenging. And then the insight I get from that is like, okay, well, I'm going to have to pull the reins back on her. She's going to be trying to do too much, too soon, too fast. But if it was related to the days a week, I would have modified that, because the exercises that are in there are more appropriate to where you're currently at right now. And that would serve you better than Muscle Mommy in regards to that. But other than that, that would be the only challenge.
Two things I'll tell you that I think will help. One is when you have a program like Starter, I know it says day one, day two, whatever. When you can work out, that's the workout that you're doing. And so don't worry about the 7-day schedule. It's just, this is the order. So
workout
this week,
twos whenever you want it to be.
Right. So this week it's 2. Next week I did 3. The following week I did 1. And you just follow the order. Totally fine. The second thing, in my experience with busy moms, especially postpartum, some of the best results they ever got was, rather than doing a full workout, is they would do an exercise or two at this time, and then later in the day, oh, I got 5 minutes, I'll do another exercise. Oh, I got another 5 minutes, I'll do another exercise. And so they were just kind of spreading it out throughout the day. Great results with that. Great results in consistency. So you don't have to do the whole workout all at one time. You can literally do a couple sets here, a set there, whatever, if you have the physio ball and dumbbells, which is what that program calls for. And again, in my experience, it led to more consistency and better results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I would say to that point, Sal, the old me would probably be like, you know, as much as like, I mean, my body was like a Picasso like a year ago, like it was like, I missed that. But I also, having learned from listening to your podcast, you know, I'm not like, I understand that I'm not chasing an aesthetic goal right now, that I do want to be just functional and healthy,
mm-hmm.
even though it's hard to button my pants. So, you know, it is important for me to remember that. The second piece of my question was just about the trigger sessions. How important are those to, you know,
context,
the workouts, the results?
Context matters. Yeah, context matters. I right now, what's going to get you the best results is the appropriate level of exercise based on the context of your life. So if you don't do trigger sessions, then
not a big deal.
That's totally fine. It's completely fine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Can I send you MAPS 15 if you don't have that? Because I think I like that program for you as well at some point too.
Yeah, that would be great. I don't have that one.
Yeah. We'll send that to you.
Awesome.
And was this, is this a baby girl, baby boy?
A girl. Oh, and I have a 3-year-old boy. So this one's a girl.
Oh, great. Oh, that's awesome. Perfect. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You got it. We'll send you 15. Okay.
You're doing good, Kim. Keep it up.
All right. You did everything right. You did everything right. Yeah. So
just keep listening to your body.
Good to hear. Thanks, guys.
All right. You got it.
Bye.
I love those kinds of questions. I like what she said, where having one was a vacation compared to two. It's so true.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny when you talk to people with like four, they're like, you're like, how do you do it? And they're like, after three, it doesn't matter. it just doesn't matter.
It's all the same.
Yeah, dude. So yeah, but you know, I just want women to understand this. The reality of fitness pre, during, and postpartum is, it's a year or two, typically two. So you get these fitness influencers that give just the worst expectations that just, I've never seen it in real life. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing for me was to hear her say that the reason why she didn't like starter was just because she saw how many days a week it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What I was concerned about was
like, oh, it's boring or easy.
Yes.
It's not hard enough.
And then that would tell me, okay, she has a tendency to probably overtrain, but it's, she did all the right things. So that's right. As long as she listens to her body and... I'm glad you touched on the following the program that way. I think sometimes people get so hung up and it's got to be this
schedule.
Like, yeah, schedule in the week. It's like, no, stretch it out. You know, stretch it out. It's not that big of a deal,
yep.
Especially in this context of like, we really want to make sure that we're paying attention to nutrition and sleep and stress and all the other things that come with having two kids.
Yeah,
that becomes the biggest priority in staying healthy. And then, yeah, we work out when we can work out.
Our next caller is Amanda from Massachusetts.
Amanda, what's happening?
How you doing, Amanda?
Hello. Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. We're doing
good. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. First of all, I have to say, love your stuff. You're hilarious. You make me laugh every time I listen to you guys, and I've just learned so much from you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, you're welcome.
How can we help you?
Okay, so basically, I'm doing my first bulk and cut. So I bulked over the winter, and now I'm doing my cut. I'm 6 weeks in, trying to do it for 12 weeks, but the number on the scale is just not budging at all. I'm about 300 to 400 calories in a deficit of about 300 to 400 calories. And I don't think I could do any more than that. I'm pretty hungry. So what do you guys have to say for someone who's doing a cut, whether it's their first time or their 12th time, who's not seeing progress on the scale? How do I keep going and keep moving along?
Here? Well, hold on. Cause I'm reading your question that you wrote in. Tell me about the caliper measurements going down. So explain that.
Okay. So I did start with the caliper. It's the first time I've ever used one. And I started at about 28% body fat. Again, I wasn't quite sure how to use it, but I sort of took an average of all my measurements. So starting at 28%, but that has gone down to 26%. So I have seen that move a little bit, but nothing on the scale.
Well, that's Amanda, we call that the Goldilocks zone. That's called you're perfect is what that's called. Yeah. But let me tell you,
is in maintenance.
So
no, you lost fat.
You're losing body fat. So okay, so a couple things. Let's first two, because I guess there is still some room for improvement.
Exactly. Even though
I would say this is amazing. Where are your current calories at right now? How much are you eating a day?
I'm about 1700 to 1800.
Okay. Not too bad.
Yeah. And then what's your movement look like? How many times a week are you training? Do you check your steps? Like, how much are you moving?
So I up my steps to about 12 to 15,000 a day.
Okay.
Usually I was at about 10,000. I'm working out Monday through Friday, doing like strength and Pilates. I kind of backed off of the heavy weights and just trying to focus more on my steps, not really doing too much cardio.
Okay.
That doesn't sound bad at all.
Yeah.
How do you feel in the gym when you work out? How's your performance? How's your energy?
A little more tired lately. As I've gotten deeper into my cut, a little bit more tired. So not lifting as heavy of weights. And that was another thing. you know, thinking if I'm not going to be gaining muscle. So I felt like the scale would definitely drop, but it's been a little frustrating seeing that, but it's nice to hear that you guys think I'm on the right track maybe.
Yeah. So if I were to rank ways of measuring body composition change, one of the worst ways is the scale.
Yeah.
Okay. So the scale measures total body mass, which is body fat, water, muscle, organs, hair, like it's everything, right? Calipers are a more accurate measure of body fat. Now there is room for error with calipers, but the fact that it went down is a good sign. And so I would continue to test your body fat percentage with calipers every 2 weeks to see if it continues to move in a downward direction. If it keeps going down, if the next time you test it, it's 25 or 24, you're definitely getting leaner, okay?
Regardless of the scale.
Then that would mean you're building muscle. Now the question is, well, how am I building muscle if I'm not lifting as heavy? Okay, sometimes what happens is we're overtraining, and not lifting as heavy means I've reduced the volume, the intensity, which might just be what your body needed to build a little bit of muscle.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually, now that you say it.
Right. So, and you are doing a lot, like strength training plus Pilates.
Plus 12 to 15.
Yeah, how long are your strength training sessions? What do those look like, Monday through Friday?
I mean, they're a blend of strength and Pilates together. So it's about 40 minutes.
What do you mean? What is a strength and Pilates blend?
So it's just an app that I'm using. It's the Ladder app. And that's the program that I'm doing is kind of doing like lighter weights, but also there's going to be a circuit of heavier weights in there. A lot of core. Every day we're doing core exercises.
Amanda. Is there a reason why you're not following a mass program?
I haven't yet. I'm so interested. I hear all about them. I know there's so many.
Okay.
I'm trying to start a program, finish it, and then
we'll get you a better program.
Stop that crappy program.
Yeah.
You want some magic? You want something that's going to blow your mind? And I'm not selling anything, so I'm going to give it to you.
The razzle dazzle.
I'm going to give you a MAPS program. Okay. Stop doing your Pilates mashup crappy stuff and do what we're telling you and watch what happens.
And don't change anything else.
Don't change anything else.
Literally just change out the bad program for a good program.
That's it.
Yep.
Okay, and which MAPS program would you guys
do? Do you feel comfortable with traditional strength training exercises like barbell deadlifts, squats, overhead presses, all that stuff?
I do. However, I was getting sick of them when I was doing my bulk. I was just getting sick of throwing around real heavy weights and just changing all my plates in the gym and all of that. Mm. I like using dumbbells.
That hurt my heart when you said that. I
like it every now and then.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got two programs I could send you.
Math 15 at
either
home.
Well, either Muscle Mommy, I think, or Symmetry if you like something different.
Okay.
So, and you're in the gym 5 days a week?
I have a gym at my house, but yeah.
And you like dumbbell exercises?
I do, yeah.
Let's go MAPS Symmetry.
Okay, MAPS Symmetry.
Yeah. And then
keep everything the same and try the new program.
Yeah. And you know what? Let's have you back on in 3 months because I can't wait to hear about what happens.
Okay. I'd love to do that.
All right. We're going to send that to you.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Now, don't do this. Okay. Don't add a crap load of cardio.
No cardio or Pilates.
And don't get super aggressive with your cut. Be very patient and smooth. Okay. And then do caliper measurements every 2 weeks. Okay.
All right. I'm on it.
All right. Let's do it.
All right, Amanda.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
She thinks we're funny, but she doesn't buy a MAPS program. You see how I looked at Justin? Because he's the funny one.
I didn't tell her to do Pilates.
That's actually good news. It's actually good news for a trainer when you hear what someone's doing and you see glaring, like easy ways you can make things move in the right direction.
Yeah,
just change your program. She'd be like, what is happening? My body's totally changing.
I hope though, I don't know if I would have went Symmetry.
Do you think the volume's too much?
It's
going to be foreign to her.
Yes. And the beginning of that program is like
isometrics.
Yes. Yeah. So I would have went MAPS 15. I would have kept it simple. And she already, to all those exercises, getting bored of that. It's like two exercises a day, good strength training, no other bullshit with all her walking.
You're not wrong.
I would have rather seen her done. I would have went
You're not wrong. I'm afraid that she'd be like, boring. because it's not enough.
I think symmetry is more of that. Maybe. I think symmetry, if you aren't sold on isometrics and know how important that is.
Well, I did say we'd have her back on, so maybe that'll motivate her to do it.
That part, I hope. Like, I hope she's just like, okay, I got to do this because these guys told me I got to follow it to a T.
Amanda, so if you're watching this, please don't make me look bad.
Yeah.
Do it. Yeah.
But I mean, I think that her choice of programming, and of course, we're offending all the Pilates people that always get up in arms whenever we talk about how whack or weak Pilates
is. It's activity. It's good for Pilates. It's fine.
It's just
if you want to change body composition.
It's so oversold on how good it is though for building muscle.
Right.
It's so oversold for that. Yeah. Okay.
It's not muscle building.
Offending right now that does it. Listen, it's great. It's not a bad thing to do. It's like
it would be like me saying, I want to get better at golf, so I'm playing basketball. Yeah,
exactly.
It's almost as good as our trigger sessions.
Exactly. It is not good for that. They sell you on it that it's good for building muscle. No, it's not. It's great activity. It's good for you. Totally. Big fan of that being a part of your routine, but doing it with the intent of building muscle, losing body fat, it's a terrible
better
strategy.
Options.
Yeah, yes. We need to lift weights.
Our next caller is Bryn from New York.
Bryn, how's it going?
Hello.
Good. How are you guys?
Good. How you doing?
We're doing excellent. How can we help you?
Good. Okay. So, little backstory. I graduated college a year early, and instead of sitting around and watching my friends have a really fun year or get stuck in a 9-to-5, I decided to move to Sweden to work as an au pair. But my goal was to study how one of the healthiest countries in the world lives, because I just thought there had to be a reason why everyone was so happy and healthy over there, according to all the research. So I headed over there, did my own little lifestyle research, and now I'm a group certified personal trainer, a hot yoga instructor, and I'm working with a private personal training facility. And my question is, how do you actively go about inspiring subtle changes? I learned so much through like my experience in Sweden and how the people live that I really want to bring that back with the community aspect and all the things I learned, but I am from a small town, so it's kind of difficult to get the ball rolling and spark that. So I just wanted your guys' insights on building community and growing that through pure passion, everything.
Wow. Well, that's great. Cool. So explain what you've experienced there in that town that you want to try and bring over. I mean, you're talking about connection, but why are they connected, or how are you experiencing that? What are the things that
those lifestyle elements you noticed?
Just little mindset things, I think, especially over in Europe, the mindset's just different on per se, like walking to the grocery store, connecting over little things. I live in a small town. It's like the only thing to do is go to the bar, to be honest, like to be quite frank. And I just want people to know that there's, you know, I try to do these events like puppy yoga is going on, a workout class that's not scary. We try to teach people like fitness is fun and a foundation. It's not something to fear, but people are so comfortable with unhealthy habits that it's just hairy to navigate.
Okay. So the question is to bring the healthy stuff here to the U.S., to the small town, mm-hmm. and kind of build that community. It's going to be focused around, like you said, community. And I would mm-hmm. focus on groups of people that are already friends, that are already meeting, or a category where maybe they're underserved, like moms, maybe stay-at-home moms, bring your kids. And we're going to do some exercise. And really, it's both. It's exercise, but it's also a great way for them to connect and socialize, which is also very healthy and also very mm-hmm. motivating. People love to show up to exercise groups when they're with friends, and it's something that they enjoy. So that would be one way that I think approach it. A church would be another one. You want to make it about getting the group together to really experience life together. And, oh, by the way, I also can teach you guys exercise. I can also show you guys how you can feel better through that process. And by the way, I'm going to let you know, Bryn, this is the secret to building a successful fitness business anyway. The average person doesn't become a fitness fanatic. The average person doesn't want to work in fitness. But the best way we can get the average person to create this lifestyle, this long lifestyle with fitness, is to show them how it improves the quality of their life. And so one of the things I would do with my clients, and I was well aware of this. I mean, I had clients that were with me for 10 years and they knew what we were going to do. They knew the extras. They had 10 years of experience, but why did they show up? They liked being there. And I knew that, and that was okay. It was just really creating this great relationship with exercise and nutrition. So what you're trying to do is actually one of the key secrets to building a successful in-person fitness business anyway.
Low barrier to entry, okay, to get people. And by the way, you could literally use the model here. What do? We sit on this podcast and we talk and help people with their health fitness journey, right? It's absolutely free. So low barrier, really easy. It's like, okay, all we have to do is tune in and listen. And there's a percentage of those people that hear us continue to give value and teach and help. They go, you know what? I'm going to try one of them programs out that they talk about all the time. And they hear them answering questions and helping all these people. And then they do. And then it changes their life. And then they tell somebody else. And then they tell somebody else. And it's just a percentage game. You just continue to add value to these people's life. You make it very easy for them to get to. So a walking group, a mobility class on the weekends, things that like almost anybody can do. It's not a crazy hard workout. It's just getting building community. While I'm doing that, I'm teaching all these valuable lessons that I've learned when I was over in Sweden and what I've learned through all my education, adding things to their life to make it improve. The more people that you impact like that, that you actually make improvement in their life, the more questions they're going to ask you. And hey, do you happen to do this one-on-one, or could I, would you train me? Okay. Then I can train that person and I get them good results. It's just, this is business 101. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing that is challenging for people is they expect this to happen way faster than it does. You know, I mean, when you look back at when we started this podcast, we did hundreds of episodes before we made any dollars, you know, and we were impacting thousands of people before it was even really a business. And so it just takes a long time. It's the battle of attrition, and most entrepreneurs don't have it to keep going. And it, now those that are inspired and have this, you know, internal passion, like it sounds like you have for this, tend to be the ones that can make it, because, you know, you're like, it doesn't matter if I get rich doing this or not, it doesn't matter, because I just truly want to help and build community and help people. And if you let that be your guiding light and you continue to do that, it will happen. It really will.
Yeah. I think too, just listening to like your grand vision and everything, like what I would want to do first is really get involved in the community, find out like what the schedule looks like for events, like, if there's even parks or there's places where you can host things and events, and start understanding all the different businesses in the community, introduce yourself to everybody in these businesses and start working collectively on some ideas. Like they're mentioning just going on a hike and like making an event out of that. And, you know, bringing an already successful event into your town, you know, things like that, just to kind of start sparking something of interest that people can kind of rally behind. But really it's about you spearheading it. If this is really your grand vision, like you need to be in there and talking to a lot of these policymakers within the community setting.
You know what might be a good like specific for this, Bryn? So you were an au pair, right? So you were watching some kids when you were overseas?
Yes. I was a nanny.
How old were the kids?
There was a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old, and an 8-year-old.
So what if you did this? Maybe we combine some of your experience with what Adam and Justin are talking about. What if you did this? What if once a week you organized a mommy and me hike or mommy and me walk with exercise, and it's free? You don't charge anything for it. And you get together 5-6 moms, and once a week you meet together. And then what you're doing is going for a walk, you're talking with them, you're helping them with the kids because you have experience with that. And you start the workout or the walk out with some mobility and some stretching. And then we walk. And then after 10, 15 minutes, all right, everybody, let's pause here. We're going to do some squats or whatever. And then you do another walk. And then you just kind of make it this thing. But then everybody's also talking and connecting. And then they love you because, oh my gosh, she's so good with the kids, because that's a great skill. And moms love that. If you love their kids, they love you. And if you did this once a week, like what Adam was saying, and they start to love you and like you, here's what's going to naturally happen. one of the moms is going to have questions about nutrition.
The network starts.
Another mom's going to be like, hey, I, you know, what else can I do for working out? And you can give them advice and you can say, hey, you know, if you want, I also offer one-on-one coaching and it's through text. And we can also meet in person. And then before you know it, you start getting clients. But it starts out, you know, once a week with something like that. Mm-hmm. That's low barrier. Like Adam said, it's totally free. And I think it combines your expertise in fitness and the fact that you're probably really good with kids.
You know, I grew up in a small town like that. One main road down the middle, four bars. And, you know, that's everybody went to. And there was a local gym there. And there was always a gym, one gym that existed in that town. And after college and I went on to the Bay Area and stuff, I had a good friend of mine I went to high school with. She built an incredibly successful business, fitness business there. And if I had to tie it to one thing that she did really well was she did such an incredible job with the community thing. She she was always throwing big parties and events, and she had challenges and she had hikes, and she just got in the community. And
it was like a thing to do.
Yeah. She became the advantage she had. I was so surprised how successful she was financially, because it never crossed my mind that I think she could have been. I was just like, that's such a terrible place to go. There's nobody there. All they want to do is drink beer. But she thought I could be the one, I could be the fitness person of the town. Mm-hmm. And so she became that. She became the go-to person when it came anything health or fitness related, because it was so small, it was pretty quick and easy for her to become that person. She quickly was known by every business entity that was there as, this is where you go to. If you have questions about health, fitness, nutrition, anything, you go to her, because you
corner the market. Completely.
She did. She cornered it really quick. And you know what? She had a really successful business out of that. Yeah, she didn't make millions and millions of dollars, but I tell you what, anybody and everybody that was interested in anything fitness related was coming to her in that town.
Yeah, you just immerse yourself completely. I mean, go to all the baseball games, go to all the things, and you're just a face that everybody can recognize. And I think that it just organically will really like open up once you start connecting with everybody.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's what I've been trying to do. Like already I pitched to the schools like this field trip so they could come to the facility, and the kids did like a 20-minute yoga, a 20-minute like mini
perfect
camp thing, and like 20 minutes of nutrition. We had a few classes booked that, and it went great. I'm doing fitness on the farm. There's like a regenerative farm here, and we're doing like a boot camp here, pre-sell like tickets. We're doing puppy yoga and kitten yoga. Like proceeds go to the organizations type of thing, because I just want people to know like there is things in their community, and like not just sit kind of stuck in their houses, like almost doom scrolling, terrified of life. I just feel like speaking to my friends my age, that's like the common consensus here. And I don't know, I just am trying to get people
you're doing great, Brian.
This is why I like walking groups. I don't know how familiar you are with like Strides. I mean, this is how Strides got their start. I think that's so easy, like just walking groups, like literally just becoming the person who organizes this walk every morning or every day or once a week at least, where everybody in town knows, oh yeah, you know what, we can meet up with Brian at 7 a.m. She always does that walk, you know. Because all levels of fitness can do that, it makes it easy. The hard part about like running boot camps and things that are a little more challenging is you tend to only get the people that like would want to get a boot, like get a challenging class, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It just eliminates a good percentage of people that were like, you know what, I know I need to at least walk. Right. So you get everybody who's like, and you'll get even some really fitness enthusiasts that are like already fit. And they're like, I love that someone's organizing a group social walk that we can all do. And it's in that walk that I have the opportunity to talk about my boot camp class, to talk about my yoga thing I do, and to talk about all the other things that I can help people out with. But it's like, let's just start to build this community. Like my number one goal, if I'm you right now, is like, can I build a morning walk that has 50 people? How sick would that be? Mm-hmm. 50 okay, people yeah. walking.
That sounds amazing.
Right. Wouldn't that be amazing? And what? And it's yeah, doable. That'd be so cool. It's so doable, right? Like mm-hmm. you could get to a place where it's like, can I build a community of
businesses 50? Will want to donate to it as well.
And then can you imagine, because I know it's like to live in a small town where there's like one main street, like yeah, at 7 a.m., 50 people walking down the street. And people are like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah. Who is mm-hmm. that? And then that will create so much attention. That's what's cool about a small town. Is that is very doable to create a wave like that everybody's yeah. like, what's going on? And then that's a great way for you to get attention like that.
How long have you been kind of doing this in this town, and how big is the town? How many people?
It's like 15,000 people, and I've been doing it. When did I come back? Like February, beginning of February.
Oh, you're killing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just Brynn, you're just getting started. Yeah, if you keep doing this and just being consistent and just kind of organize this, like very, very quickly, within a year or two, you'll kind of become the fitness mayor
yep.
of the town, especially that you're 22 and you're doing this already. Like, this is really great. You're going to mm-hmm. do, this is like, just stay consistent, okay? Don't get discouraged if it doesn't happen.
That's my whole thing, is I don't want to.
No, you're fine.
Around or lose focus.
No, give it like another year, literally, and then you're going to become like the kind of like the fitness mayor, and it's going to turn into this great business. You're literally doing all the right, you have the right attitude too.
Focus on the getting 50 people to walk with you. That is going to be,
I think that'll go great.
That'll already be a little bit of a challenge. That's going to take some effort and time just to do that, and that'll be a huge that'll be a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
That'll be huge.
That's perfect. But
the town I grew up in is 19,000 people, so just like you, okay? Just like that. And so I can totally picture what that looks like and what it would take to become that person. And so a great first goal is, I'm going to start this walk that happens every morning at a certain time. And my goal is to get 50 people showing up for free. If you do that, I think all the other things will start.
You'll get clients out of that for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great idea. I'm definitely going to run with that.
All right, cool. I'd love to hear back from you.
Yeah.
Because this would be really cool to watch this unfold. All right.
Thank you guys so much.
Keep us posted, Brynn.
It's awesome. I will. Thank you.
You got it.
All right.
I love seeing someone her age with that kind of attitude.
She's passionate.
She has the right attitude. I think what people mess up with something like this is, A, they expect to make money right away, and B, they don't have the patience and consistency to let it unfold, because it's going to take some time.
Oh, God.
But once you do it, like what you said, Adam, if she kept doing that within a year, it very well could have 50 people walking, and before you know it, lots of people know who she is in the town, and she'll get clients.
Well, listen, I get the opportunity to talk to a lot of different trainers that have business ideas, and depending on how they approach the question is like how bluntly honest I am with like the business idea. Like, I would tell someone like this, typically, this is a terrible business idea. And the reason why I would is because just mathematically, it is going to be hard, and it's going to take a lot of time to make any money whatsoever.
Right.
But you talk about the stat all the time about the most motivated people are not people with the highest paying jobs. Or it's the people that's volunteers. So, and she comes across as me.
That's what I'm saying. Her attitude was right.
Yeah. Is that she's so passion driven to help and change her community that is what will carry her on. Mm-hmm. And so if she leads with that first of like, just how do I impact this community and do something easy and simple and fun and get, like walk, start a walking group every morning and see if you can grow that thing to 50 people. If 50 people, and I know what it's like to be in that exact size town, there's only one main road that goes down a town like that.
Everybody sees it.
If there's 50 fucking people walking that, I mean, if 10 people are walking, you're going to break necks. 50 people walking down together every single morning, you're definitely going to get attention.
Trust the purpose and everything else will follow.
Our next caller is Paolo from Japan.
Paolo, what's happening?
How you doing, man?
What's up, dude?
Well, this is amazing. What's up, guys?
How you doing? How can I help you, dude?
Yeah, so let me jump into it. I'm an expat living here in Japan. Husband, father of a 7-year-old and a 1-year-old, pastor and then teacher. I used to rely on cardio for exercise, but resistance training and finding new guys has changed everything. So now I focus on getting stronger just to keep up with my kids. I've done MAPS 15 anabolic, and I'm finishing my second round of MAPS 15 performance. Toward the end of each program, about midway of phase 3, I often feel burnt out and get a little sick. I started putting rescues between each phase, and this really brought down the intensity by about 20%. It just helped me stop getting sick as often during the final phase. In addition, helped me get better sleep. So my question is there anything I could do to recover better or build a more resilient CNS so I don't need to need rest weeks as often? Or should I just stay the course?
Yeah, great question. I think what you're doing is in the right direction. So that's good. But the question is, like, how do I improve my ability to recover? Well, there's a few big places or first places I would look, things like sleep and nutrition.
Yeah.
But then there are other things that can cause susceptibility to illness, like vitamin D deficiency or nutrient deficiency. Have you ever gotten those tested? Have you ever seen where your vitamin D levels are?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I noticed that you're darker complexion like I am. The odds that your vitamin D deficient or not in an optimal range goes up significantly higher whenever you're darker. So the average person here in the U.S., at least 60%, it goes up as high as 80% when you start to have darker skin. You can either just start supplementing with vitamin D or get it tested first and see if you need it. The side effects of suboptimal vitamin D are repeated illness, potential low energy, inability to recover, that kind of stuff. So I would look there. How is your sleep now? Is it consistent? Is it good? Or do you find it kind of up and down?
It's consistent. I think about like 7 hours. It could be more, honestly. Again, I have a 1-year-old at home. So usually when she's up, you know, check if she's okay. It could be better, but average about 7. And I've been able to stay sleep the whole time.
Oh, good.
And,
good. And then what's your work schedule like? I saw you're a pastor and a teacher. Are you working a ton?
So I've been the school for 9 to 5 about, and then I do pastoral stuff like in evenings and on the weekends.
Okay. I think honestly, I think everything's fine. I think adjusting the intensity is the best thing to do. Mm-hmm. There are little hacks here and there, but they don't make that big of a difference. I'll be quite honest with you. Whenever somebody's like, I'm not recovering well, I look at sleep, lifestyle, nutrition.
How good are you about consistently hitting your protein intake?
I've been using a lot of shakes, but now I'm trying to reduce the amount of shakes, just get it from whole natural foods.
Yeah.
But I've been hitting consistently about 135 grams.
Okay.
And have you been getting stronger in these programs?
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Oh, you're fine, bro.
Yeah.
Let's say it is a vitamin D deficiency. If that's the case, it'll be like miraculous when you start to supplement. It'll make a big difference. But let's say that's not the issue. Everything's fine. Levels are fine. Optimal vitamin D. Everything's good. There's a wide variance in just how people adapt to exercise. And so oftentimes we look at and we judge our ability to, you know, recover. And we're like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? Well, you're getting stronger. You're improving nothing. Like you're good. You're totally good. You don't need more strength training. If you're improving, you're doing phenomenal. So I think what you're doing by taking extra rest and adjusting the intensity is absolutely perfect.
Yeah, I think you're doing way better than you realize. And I bet you, I mean, I'm willing to bet that vitamin D thing is going to be a nice help at the bare minimum. There's a really good chance if you haven't had that tested, you don't take that. You're probably lacking that. I know the difference of when I'm consistent with it and when I'm not. And when I'm inconsistent with it, it's always when I'm getting colds and sick. So there's a good chance that'll already start to help. And then continue doing what you're doing. Mass 15 is such a great program. I think that the mistake everybody makes is everybody thinks they need to be doing more.
You're getting stronger though.
Yeah.
Work and keep going.
Paolo, my dad is like my complexion, right? And my dad is always outside. Like he's doing yard work. He's doing his garden. He's on his motorcycle. And my dad had all these weird symptoms and they were prescribing him all kinds of different things. Thought it was arthritis. Why do I have low energy? Why am I hurting? Whatever. We did not suspect he had a vitamin D deficiency because he's always outside. Well, and we're in California. It's sunny most of the time. He went and got tested. He was severely low. Started supplementing, all the symptoms went away. So I think it's cheap, right? A vitamin D level test is really cheap. It also doesn't hurt to supplement with it anyway, you know, 2,000-5,000 IUs a day just to see what happens. And so that might just be what it is. But even if that's not it, you're great. If you're improving, don't touch it. Don't touch anything. You're doing a good job.
Right. Awesome. I guess on top of that then, or along with that, if I'm taking rest weeks and I know – so you're saying like you like to be in the gym, just do a deload week. Would it be better for like you need to do more of a bit mobility kind of.
Yes.
Or just to drop the intensity. Okay.
No. Yeah, no. Go in there and do mobility. Yeah, mobility is great for active recovery, and it'll also improve your performance when you get back to lifting weights. Absolutely.
Okay, great. Okay. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much.
Keep it up, man.
Yeah, yeah. Good job, dude. You're doing great.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Actually, can I just say something real quick?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you guys for everything you guys do to help us in our personal journeys. Justin, your methods and the way you teach and the form you bring really helped me. I feel that there's plenty to learn and enjoy the process. Adam, your growth mindset is incredible. Your drive in yourself helps to drive others. And thank you. But I'm sorry, it's definitely peanut butter first. And Sal, your pursuit of strength, physically, professionally, and recently spiritually shows that health is way more than how much I can lift or numbers on a scale. So truly an inspiration. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for that. But yeah, his spirit of excellence really comes through in every episode. So tell them, arigato. But the whole team, Dylan, all you guys are just fantastic. And so thank you so much for all you do.
Appreciate that, man. Thank you so much.
God bless. Thank you, dude.
Thank you, guys. Take it easy. Bye.
Take it easy. Yeah, I think it's really wild the variance of just tolerance to exercise. And at the end of the day, it's like, are you getting more fit and stronger? Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I'm super curious to hear the difference of taking vitamin D.
It's wild. When I looked at the data,
yeah,
it was 60%, which is most people. And then when I looked at, it was African-Americans, 83%. And so if you're like not white and you're like tan or olive complected or black, the odds that you're gonna have a vitamin D deficiency if you don't supplement are very high. And a vitamin D deficiency, extreme deficiency, can cause some pretty loud symptoms, but just not being optimal is like, oh, I'm getting sick, mm-hmm, not recovering as well.
Yeah, you'll feel it.
Don't feel as great, a little bit of anxiety.
It sure sounded like that to me.
It did.
Yeah. So yeah. I want, that's why I'm so curious to see, because that could be like such a small thing.
A light bulb.
Like,
oh,
cheap supplement.
Yeah.
And there you go. Look, if you like the show, come find us on Instagram. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. I'm at Mind Pump DeStefano. Adam is at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.
Something amazing is happening in education. Students are inspired and engaged. That's because school districts consulted with CDW, who designed modern classroom solutions with pre-configured HP devices, making learning more accessible, secure, and immersive. So when it comes to capturing student attention, paper airplanes can't beat the lesson plan. HP and CDW, make amazing happen. Learn more at cdw.com/hppsg.
At Coldwater Creek, we believe your clothing should reflect the life you live. Effortless, inspired, and confident. With artful prints, rich seasonal colors, and quality fabrics chosen for comfort and ease, every style is designed to feel great and fit beautifully at every size. This season, find fresh looks and layers inspired by the beauty of nature. Coldwater Creek, artfully designed just for you. Shop now at coldwatercreek.com.